so I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling, oh, I will cling to the old rugged cross. And exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me.
Oh, yes.
For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary.
Praise Him for the cross today.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Oh, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange.
Morning. He's done so much. He's done so much in our lives. He's worthy of our praise and our attention today. So go ahead and lift a hand if you can. Hallelujah. We thank you for what you've done in our life. Hallelujah. We worship Jesus today.
Love wait a minute. To let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, so redeemed only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given away.
I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was the ransom me faithfully bore.
He canceled my debt and He called me His friend.
That's when death was arrested and my life began.
Does anybody remember when your life was made new today? Isn't that worth praising for? Isn't that worth lifting up in this house? A God who came where you needed him most? Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! We praise a God who's here, who made a way when there was no way.
Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost.
But then Jesus arose with a freedom in hand.
To thank God for what he did for me and for you. How many here would say you're so thankful for the cross? You're so thankful that he died for you. But I'm not just thankful that he died for me. I'm thankful that he rose again for me. I'm so thankful for that day that Jesus came out of that grave for Darcy. I'm so thankful for that day that Jesus came out of that tomb for Tim. I don't ever want to come to church and it just be a regular Sunday. I believe that things are going to happen today. I believe somebody's going to find Jesus today. Today. I believe that somebody's marriage is going to be helped today. I believe that there are some bodies that are going to be healed today. I just don't ever want to come in and just do church as church. I just want to remind you, can we just take a minute and praise the God that came out of that grave for me? Can we just 100% of Charleston Church, all of the balcony, every area, if we could just raise our hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you came out of that grave to set me free. Just thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We never just want to come here and not let you know that we're so thankful. We're so thankful. We're thankful that for somebody will find you today. We're just thankful that eternity will be changed because of today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's so good, isn't he? He's so good. I want you to turn to about four people and say, he's so good. And then you may be seated. I only said four. Sit down now. I'm just kidding. Charleston Church, will you let all the visitors know we are so glad that you're in the house today. All of our guests, we're so glad that you're here today. We're so glad that you're here. And if you're a guest, we want you to take the connection card right in the seat in front of you. Take it and fill it out and put it in the offering. Now, if you brought a guest, I want you to get a connection card, pass it to your friend. You know, everybody needs to be connected to a church. Amen? So maybe, you know, I think some of you have been coming for quite a while and you haven't filled out one yet, and we want you to fill it out so we can connect you to this church. Amen? Because this is a good church. Except I see somebody in a Patriots jersey back there. You're going to have to really preach today, honey. I'm sorry, that was flesh. Totally a different feeling when you do that too, but it felt good. This Tuesday, we're having our senior dinner, our lunch, or I messed that up totally, so I'm just going to start over. This Tuesday, we're having our senior luncheon. It's at 11 o'clock, and if you are 55 or older, I want you to come. It's just a great time to connect to different wonderful people in this church. So it's this Tuesday. We want you to come. And how many have ever been to a yard sale? We have a yard sale coming up at our Safe Place Community Center in Corinth. And I just want you to know there is new stuff at this yard sale. So you need to come and just support them. This is all going back into the Safe Place Community Center. And we're so thankful. We feed hundreds and hundreds of families every week or every month at the community center. So that's right in Corinth, and it's going to be great. It's going to be this Friday and this Saturday, and I will see you there. Yes, because I do fill up my vehicle with that day. And we're having a fast. How many know that fasting is biblical? In the Bible, it talks about fasting and things happening only when you fast. So this church is going to have we're going to ask everybody to fast maybe one meal or whatever you decide, but we're going to have that. It's September 17th through the 22nd, and we're believing at the end of that fast, we're going to see some miracles and signs and wonders. Amen? And after that fast, that Sunday, it will be on the 23rd, evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth will be here. And if you have not heard Jonathan Shuttlesworth, you're missing it. So that's going to be that Sunday, both services, and then he's going to be at Faith Bible that 24th through 26th, and then when we bring somebody in, we take all we can from them. We're going to have Adalis, his wife, Adalis. I'm going to practice that. I tried. Adalis at our women's conference, and she is going to bring the house down. It's going to be our best conference. So if you're a lady, I want you to save the dates for the 28th and the 29th. It's a Friday night and a Saturday. And it's just going to be a little different than we've ever done. We're going to have Chick-fil-A on Saturday brought out, and it's going to be good. So you need to register at cchurch11a.info, and it's going to be you're going to hear more about that coming up. So this couple is full of the Holy Spirit, and God uses them in miraculous ways. They go all over America and other countries, and God does wonderful things to their ministry, and I want to be a part of that. Amen? Amen. Ushers, you may come down. I want to share a couple stories this week. We were able to go to 14 schools this year. 14. That is more than we've ever done. And I just want to thank you. We were able to bring supplies to 14 schools. And I mean, not just a couple pens and pencils. I'm talking backpacks full of school supplies and a big bin full of school supplies. And I can honestly say that I think this year was our absolute best, strongest. I can't explain it, but there were schools that we went to that we've never been to. And the principal, one of them said, "I pray over every chair in my public school before church, before school starts." They pray over every chair. We were able to go to one school, and it was a new principal. We had not met her, and we walked in, and we had all this stuff, and our arms are loaded, and she didn't know who we were, and we'd introduced ourselves, and we dropped them off, and we started talking to her. And she said, "I was doing my devotions. And I said to the Lord this morning, I feel like I'm fighting it all by myself. I feel like this town is dark and nobody's sharing the light. And I am from the county and I don't know anybody down here, but I am at this school and I've prayed over it and I told God, I feel like I'm doing it by myself." And then all of a sudden, Mariah, Kelly, and Darcy walk in with all of this stuff and we're able to minister to her, to hug her, and tell her there's a church in Charleston that is praying for our schools, that God will do something amazing. And I'm telling you, tears running down her face, and she kept saying, "I don't know why I'm so emotional," but it was just, sometimes you want to know somebody's carrying the burden with you. So I just want to say thank you. You did that, and we're so appreciative. I mean, every school, some of the schools, they'd peek their head out of the door and say, "What are they bringing us?" So you, how many know that it's good to have a good reputation? And you have it. So I just want to thank you. And that's one of the ministries that we do here. And we're just so thankful. And we're going to give the offering now, our offering and tithes. And how many know that God blesses people that are faithful in their tithes and offerings? I just want to say, I know that personally. So let's ask the Lord to bless our offering today. God, we're just so thankful that we can reach out to our community, that we can just reach out and just show them your love. We're so thankful, Lord, the things that you've put in our hearts that we're going to see come to pass. We're so thankful, Lord, for a church that is so faithful. Lord, I don't want to forget when that principal asked us to pray for that young girl in that elementary school that has cancer. We want to, as a church, I told her we would pray for that little girl. And whoever she is, wherever she is, we pray for your healing touch. To touch that little girl, and we pray for a miracle. We don't know her, but you know her. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you heal her. We're so thankful for the opportunity to bless our community. Let us even do more than we've ever done. I pray that you bless our church family, their finances, their needs, their jobs. I pray in the name of Jesus. We're so thankful for your faithfulness, God. We're so thankful that you always are there and you always help us and meet our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Praise God. Here, I'll just leave that over here. Yeah, thank you. Awesome. God bless you in your giving today. Thank God for his faithfulness. Isn't he a faithful God? While you're giving, I want to ask Kelly, Christian, Mariah, is Tammy in here? She's in the balcony? She's on her... She's not in the balcony. She is in the balcony. Okay, sorry. Is Anthony in here? Anthony, oh, you're taking up the offering. All right. Well, you're not taking the offering. These people look like paid professionals, but they're volunteers, trust me. I want you to come. Come, if you would. I want today to do something that... Oh, I forgot the oil. I asked for it to be there. Right on up. Right on up. And if you're visiting today, you need to take a trip down into the Epic Center. You need to go around to some of the Sunday school rooms when security lets you, and see the investment that this church is making in the next generation. Come on up here, guys. Don't be you're never afraid when you're doing what you're doing, so don't be afraid now. But we want to do something today that I felt in my heart that I wanted to do before we went too far into the fall season. I was moved last week when I saw, it seemed like, I don't even know how many kids came through, but from little children, come on up, Anthony, little children up through college age students, it was like four of the average churches in Maine coming through here for prayer. And this church is getting stronger week by week, but we're not here because we think about one generation. We're here because we think about every generation, and it didn't start with us. It started with Brother Kimball and Pastor Libby, and today I want us to have this opportunity to just pray for. Where's Ron? Ron Day, where are you? Ron, you know this. Come on up here. Come on, young man like you, you've got a better memory than I do. Am I missing anybody else? Did I ask anybody else? All right, this is everybody right here. Ron runs our nursery. And, no, I'm just teasing. He could if he wanted to. If he was asked to, he would.
Well, I've never changed a diaper in my life.
You've never changed a diaper in your life. Then we won't have you in the nursery. Then we don't want you learning on somebody else's babies now. But these are not all the volunteers. These people represent dozens and dozens and dozens of volunteers that serve on not on a seasonal basis, and every Sunday basis, so that you can come in here and enjoy the presence of the Lord, and your children more so can be ministered to in a way that's effective to them. And so Ron Day is our Sunday school superintendent. Anthony runs our Elevate ministry, that's our college age. Kelly is overseeing our Soul Fire ministry, that's our high school ministry, and is overseeing the other youth ministries. Mariah is in Kids on the Move. If you wonder if there's a likeness, it's our daughter, our oldest. And Christian is working in the Ignite ministry. That's 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And Tammy runs the nursery. And how long have you been involved with the nursery total?
42 years.
42 years. Isn't that something? When she started, she changed her own diaper and crawled over and changed somebody else's. It was really quite, we knew she was called when we saw that happen. Like, let's get a background check, get her to fill out a volunteer form. But that's phenomenal. I'm just telling you, Ron, how long have you been in Sunday school? 43 years. Is that not unusual at least? It's incredible. Incredible, older than most of the people here today. And I say that with gratitude, really. You got to admit, even if this is the first time here, we got something real special going on right here. And these people aren't taking months off. They're not taking years off. They're not taking a summer off. They're doing it every week for no money. I think one more time you ought to let God know that we're grateful for them. Amen.
you remain standing, please? Would you please remain standing?
That was kind of a wave that came in shots, like the back and then the side, and that was kind of fun. Would you stand together with me and let's pray, and we're just going to anoint every one of these guys and just ask God to give them a fresh anointing, a fresh power and presence. You know, the devil would like to do everything he could to destroy him, but he can't in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we care about the next generation. Not just this generation, but as I preached last week, there are generations to come should the Lord tarry. And I'm going to claim every one of them for Jesus Christ. If you went down to the baby floor at Eastern Maine Medical Center, I pray that somehow every one of those babies has a Christian in their family. And perhaps it will be one of us. And perhaps one of them will go to one of these, start in the nursery, start in Sunday school, and then move there all the way up. But I will say to you with 100% confidence, and I need you to hear me, and it's going to sound like I'm bragging, and I am. If you'll bring your children in the nursery, and if you'll be a spiritual parent and raise them up through every level that these people are running ministry, and I'm going to tell you, that child's life will never be the same, and your grandchild will never be the same because of Jesus. Not because of us, but because of Jesus, right? Amen? I want to ask you to just stretch your hands this way, and don't give me that mumbling, weird prayer. That's not even... Pray out loud, all right? And let's declare God's fresh anointing on every person. Lord, we thank you for Tammy. We pray a fresh anointing that comes in that nursery. Every baby touched by the presence of God. If in the womb a child can feel your presence, then how much more in that nursery? Lord, we pray for the Ignite group, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. God, that is an important age. It's a vital age. And God, not one will backslide. Not one will drift. Every one of them will find their identity in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray for every child and kids on the move. We thank you, Lord, that at a young age, they will find destiny. At a young age, they will see godly examples in a wicked world. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the anointing that comes upon Kelly for the senior high youth. We thank you, Lord, for teenagers that are on fire with the Holy Ghost. They're not driving for the things of this world that destroy, but they're hungry for the things of heaven that build. And continue with Kelly's vision and oversight. Anoint in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord, for this mighty ministry that you've given to Anthony with Elevate. We thank you, God, that normally in other places they'll say, well, college students will backslide. Not us. Every one of them will go forward in the name of Jesus. They won't give in to this cultural atheism, but God, they'll get hungry for a move of God. And Lord, we thank you for Ron Day. We thank you, Lord, the word that is taught is the word that's like a seed in the heart. And for over 40 years, God, you've helped him and you've helped others. Lord, I pray that this department has the power to impart and to teach true Bible, true doctrine, characters in the scripture, that when it comes to that child's heart, their lives will never be the same again. Now, Lord, I pray that you help us as a church. Help us, Lord. Every one of us are an example. Lord, it doesn't matter if somebody's here with children or not children. Would you all just begin to surrender to God right now? Lord, our lives matter. Our testimonies matter. Lord, let us live holy. For you said, without holiness, no man will see you. God, our children don't need backslidden examples. They need on fire examples. God, let our children never wonder what a Christian looks like. Help them to always go to church and always see people that know what a Christian looks like. Behaves like, talks like, worships like, prays like, cares like. Oh God, not only that, but God, there are 2,500 people under the age of 18 in a 10-mile radius around this building. Come on, claim them with me. In the name of Jesus, I claim they'll hear the gospel, and I claim that they'll come to know you. And God, here in one of the oldest states, right next to one of the oldest counties, let us be a young, vibrant church where the old and the young worship together, and a move of God happens over every generation in Jesus' name. If you believe that's God's will, you ought to clap your hands and thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost outpouring in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you now begin to thank God for his generational promise over your family? Would you right now? Would you thank God for the generational promise over your family? I'm going to preach about that today. If you're online, you ought to do it too. Everybody across this place, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, would you thank God they'll all be saved? Would you thank God for household salvation? Would you thank God for household healing, household liberty, household deliverance? We give you thanks for it today. In Jesus' name. How about a good hearty amen right there? Amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Open your Bibles while you're standing. Praise God. You know, you lose weight when you're standing. Praise God. Just think about it. In about 2 minutes, you're going to sit down, and I'm going to walk around for 30 minutes. So, okay, you could care less. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. Also, I want to see you tonight at 5 o'clock. I really want, if you don't know it, we have church Sunday night. If you're watching online and you couldn't get here this morning, get here tonight. Sunday night services are powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Somebody say the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. These are not spirits. These are gifts given by God. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. We've preached through all these. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. I want to talk to you about this today. In the name of Jesus, please help me, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. I've been trying to make one point with each of these gifts. We need the word of wisdom because we don't know the future. We need the word of knowledge because we don't know all the facts. We need the word of faith, the spirit of faith, because our emotions can play tricks on us. We need healings and miracles because that declares that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today I want to talk to you about discerning of spirits, and here's the one reason. And if you need, you can access the notes, by the way, at C Church 11A. Those notes are there. I'm not promising to be preaching by them, but they're there. Makes you feel better. Discerning of spirits. I need you to hear this because you probably and might have your own ideas what the discerning of spirits are, and you don't think you need them. If you don't think you need them, you don't know what they are. The discerning of spirits, here's my main point. If you will know the source, you can protect the outcome. If you can know the source of what's going on, you can protect the outcome of what God wants. Because of our relationship with Christ, we can have the advantage that God can reveal to us the spiritual force that's behind something that's going on. There are many people who are suffering the wrong outcome unnecessarily. They could have avoided it if they had discerning of spirits. I'm going to talk about that today. But parents, business owners, spouses, children, grandparents, neighbors, ministers, please hear what I'm telling you. If there's ever been a time we need the discerning of spirits, it's right now in 2018. Now let's just get this straight. Discernment is not discerning. Discernment is something that you can cultivate in the natural. Discernment is something that you can grow in. You can be a doctor, and a doctor, because they know enough people, can discern the problem. You can be a business owner and discern trends in the market. You can be involved in ministry and discern certain kinds of personalities. But what I'm talking about today is not limited to human ability to understand. It is discerning of spirits is when you know what the spiritual power is behind what's going on in your life. And it's not just negative. It's not just negative. How many of you don't like being fooled? This gift is for you. You see, this is what the distinguishing discerning of spirits is. It is the ability to distinguish the motivating source of an action. I'm going to say that to you one more time. The ability to distinguish the motivating source of an action. Actions are motivated by either Satan, self, or God. actions are motivated by Satan, self, or God. And when God gives you the discerning of spirits, He gives you the reality of what's going on behind the scenes and then gives you authority to take care of what's going on. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Now, just stay right here, because there's a tremendous advantage. And remember what I said earlier. The discerning of spirits is to profit all. For many, the discerning of spirits has been the tool to attack and hurt people. That's not the discerning of spirits. Here's an instance. You ever met somebody, they always know the presence of a demon? Right? Why? Because they've hung around them so long. I'm the devil's advocate. That's because you've been hanging around the devil too long. Do you remember in the Bible that there were a third of the angels cast out of heaven? They turned into demons. That means for every demon, there's twice as many angels. And when you become more aware of the bottom third, you become unaware of the top two-thirds. And when you live aware of the bottom third, you'll live in the defeat and the dysfunction and the despair and the unbelief of the one-third. But I'm going to live in the top two-thirds, and I understand greater is He that's with us than he that's in the world. Prophet. That word prophet literally means your use will cause prosperity. I didn't define that, and actually I didn't write it. It's not even the book of Matthew. That word prophet means if you use it, it will cause prosperity. It will cause victory. There is a victory. There is an overcoming. There is an unusual triumph for people who know how to live in the power of the Holy Ghost and understand that behind every action, there's a reason. There's something going on. When Daniel prayed, he had a revelation that angels did respond to his prayer and helped him. When Elisha was facing a military that was so large and his servant began to tremble, he prayed, Lord, help my servant discern what's going on. And when he did, his spiritual eyes opened, and all of a sudden he could see an angelic army that was multiplied times greater than the natural military. Peter was awoken by an angel. Do you realize when Samuel walked into the room with the job to anoint the next king after Saul, he looked at Eliab and all the tall, good-looking brothers. And he himself wanted to anoint one of them. But the spirit of discerning came upon him and said, no, you judge people by their outward appearance. How many know that's what America does right now? We are so outwardly minded, so outwardly conscious, that we have put people in positions that look the part, but they aren't the part. They're not saints, they're ain'ts. I like that one. And so he says, you've got to have one more, and they bring in David. He don't look like the king. He doesn't dress like a king. He doesn't have the attributes of a king. He doesn't talk like a king. But the discerning of spirits does not look at somebody for their weakness, and it does not look at them for their natural strength. It looks at what God has. And before David was born, God had a king in mind. Before your child was born, God had a king in mind. God had a queen in mind. And we've got to stop judging people on the outside. We've got to discern. There's greatness inside that person's life. But if we get caught up in the social media phenomenal foolishness, and we trust posts, we've never needed the spirit of discerning more than now in the Facebook age. I just stopped, let that sink in for a minute. You know, movies actors are not the best paid people in the movie. Who's the guy that did Jurassic Park? Spielberg? You know, Steven Spielberg has made $4.45 billion And that's just for producing the movie. In every movie, the people you see are not the one who get paid the most money. You got to wait till the movie's over and read the credits. The money's in the credits, not on the screen. And we get so caught up on the screen, and we believe everything we read. We believe everything that we see. When we've got to say, behind the scenes of that person's life. Look, there, a person came in here in the spring, and he was a man dressing as a woman. Had a skirt, long hair, an ugly woman, quite honestly. Honestly, he was an ugly woman. And did a disgrace to the womanhood, really. But that man dressed as a woman walked in and was treated with respect, looking for a fight. But the security team didn't ignore it. They kept an eye on this person, but shared love, shared the scripture, shared why. Because we're not going to be a people that just looks on the outside and say, well, that's all there is. We're going to be people that say, hey, I see that there's something on the other side of what's going on there. And there's a God behind the scenes that wants to redeem that person's life. So stop looking at people in your job place just as sinners. Start looking at them as to be believers. Why do I know that? The Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. We've got to discern the power behind the action, the power behind the attitude. We've got to get back into the Word. We've got to know that families are dealing with this. We discern Satan, self, and God. Let me just stop real quick and talk to you about discerning of Satan. I think that we can become so whatever it is that we begin to deny the fact that there is a real hell and that there are demonic forces behind politics. There are demonic forces behind finance. There are demonic forces behind education nationally. And we have to realize that if we disregard God's command for right living, we invite spiritual powers to come into our life that will have negative effects. I know that most of you believe it, but you need to be reminded more than you need to be informed. But if you allow sin in your home, you cannot complain about the devil making his home in your home. I'm just telling you, you can't play with sin. I just feel led to, not because I'm mad at you, just to warn you, to encourage. You're 6 days in the world, one day in God's house, and in this day I'm going to tell you, if you let sin in over your television, if you let sin in over your phone, if you let sin in over your computer, if you let sin in any room of your house, you're inviting the devil to come in and destroy your home. You can go to church every week, you can send your kids to Sunday school youth group every week, but if there's sin in your home, you'll wonder, why do we always suffer defeat. In the name of Jesus, find everything that invites the devil in and get rid of it, delete it, destroy it, kick it out, and in the name of Jesus, clean your house up. Clean your house up. Please, clean your house up. Romans 2, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 10. How many of you made sure you locked the doors when you left the house today? How many of you, be honest? Well, I was going to have you raise your hand, but I don't know what everybody's in church today. How many of you didn't? Then eight people immediately leave. I would feel responsible. But I just lost a bunch of you because now you don't remember if you locked your door. But if you leave your front door unlocked, please listen to me. May not be anybody break in today. May not be anybody break in tomorrow. Come on, somebody. May not be anybody break in next week, but it's just a matter of time. When somebody wants to break in, they're going to walk right through the front door. You know, most criminals, when they rob houses, they go through the front door. And when we have sin in our lives, when we allow things to take place, when we entertain it, we are leaving the door open. Please hear, I know I'm an old man trapped in a handsomely young man's body. But the truth is the truth. I remember the story of, I used to preach it, now I'm getting that age. I just remembered 8 years I'm going to the seniors' luncheon. I'll be hungering for soft food. Give me a can of something. Hallelujah. You're good to your preachers. I'm so young looking. Oh, yes. Oh, so the old preaching story was a man who walked, and he was going to hike to the top of a mountain, and there was a snake that said, "Carry me, would you please? It's too far to crawl. Carry me. You're a snake." "Oh, I'm a nice snake. I won't hurt you. I just don't want to crawl all the way up there. Why would... Just help me." So the guy, so eventually he picked up the snake and he carried the snake. And just before he put the snake down, the snake bit him. The man said, "Oh, why did you do that? You knew what I was when you picked me up. I can't believe this is happening. You knew what it was when you turned it on. You knew what it was when you started listening to it. You knew what you could do when you went there. You knew what would happen when you drank that. You knew what would happen when you sniffed. And you knew what, because it's the same thing that happened before. In the name of Jesus, understand the devil's trying to kill you, but not you today. In the blood of Christ, you're forgiven. And in the power of the Holy Ghost, you say, I want that no more. I'm shutting the door to the devil. I'm opening the door to God." Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. You have the ability to train yourself to know Satan, self, and God. My wife and I were at Tree Words yesterday, and they had Tim Sample. He was hilarious. And while we were there, we had the urge to eat. And a lady behind us that watches online, maybe she's watching today, she said, "I was at Rib Fest yesterday." I said, "What's that?" "That's where they have barbecue meat." I'm like, "Yeah, that's God's will. I discern. It's God's will. Why would you be here if that was not God's will?" So we went. Wow. They had almost everything but barbecue there. How many of you went to Rib Fest? Anybody? Yeah, Ray went to Rib Fest. Me and Ray. Anybody else? And my wife. Yeah, I didn't go alone. So we walked in, and so we're standing in line to get barbecue. And how many know that's going to be served at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Me and Ray know that. So I get the food, and all of a sudden, I'm standing there, my wife's standing behind me, and something checks in my spirit. And I'm feeling like really, really irritated. Really irritated. Immediately, I looked at the cook behind the grill, and he went just like this. I looked over here, and there's another dude standing up, and his head went down. I'm like, "What's going on here?" So I said, "What's going on?" My wife said, "Just come with me. Just come with me. Just come with me." She grabbed, "Just come with me." She didn't grab my ear, but she just, "Come with me." By the time we sat down, I said, "What is going on?" Well, you didn't hear what they said, but it was inappropriate. Oh, boy. Now, any of you that know me don't know that I don't handle that well. Physically, I don't handle well when my wife is being disrespected. I was ready to break some ribs. I just started getting agitated. Just get out of here before I break somebody. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Fathers, there's nothing cowardly or cavemanish when you sense in your spirit something from hell is trying to destroy your spouse or your... You need to stand up. God didn't save you to be a Christian Pee Wee Herman. Now, I'm not saying you have to be physical. I'm not saying you have to be an idiot. I'm not saying you have to be a moron. I am saying in the spirit, you ought to... When you sense something's wrong, you say, not here. I'm a man of God. I'm in the Word. I'm living right. And as far as I'm concerned, there's a line in the sand. It's the name of Jesus. And Satan will not have any advantage in my home. Oh, I gotta give you... You need not only discerning for satanic forces, you need discerning of yourself. Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am." So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Look at me. How many of you understand flesh and blood will talk to you? you will talk to yourself. And you have to know what you're saying, if it's from God or if it's from somewhere else. Watch this. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. Verse 18. And I also say that you're Peter. Oh, look at this. He loves him. He changes his name. On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. I mean, that's some pretty powerful stuff that he's just been given. Verse 20. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." And look at what Jesus, who just said he would have all these spiritual gifts, changed his name, which was a better name. How many of you would rather be Peter than Simon Bar-Jonah? Verse 23. But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Wait a minute, he just changed his name. But the same heart that was open to the things of God had now become open to the things of Satan. And Jesus had to immediately help Peter to know those thoughts of against me, and I say to you, those thoughts of depression, those thoughts of anger, those thoughts of bitterness, those thoughts of despair, those thoughts, please, of hurting yourself. Come on. I said those thoughts of doing yourself harm, they are not from God. You're not nearly strong enough on that with me, friends. You don't know what somebody beside you is going through. I don't want to hear about it anymore in the news. You don't know what people are thinking. But if you're thinking about ending your life, you need to know that's not from God. That's from the devil himself. I'm going to tell you right now, God planned a life for you. God planned joy for you. God planned healing for you. It's time to talk to somebody. But don't let the devil talk you into ending your own life. You hear me online? Your life is God's. It's precious. Oh, that God would give us the gift of discerning so that when we go into the job place, God can show you hell is trying to tell your coworker to hurt themselves. May every police officer and firefighter and paramedic that's in this place, every first responder in this place, may God give you the gift of discerning so that when a fellow coworker who has been beat down with the things they're going through, you can walk up to them and say, "Jesus is alive. Jesus has a plan, and he can heal your heart." Come on, somebody. It's time to get real with this stuff. Oh, that a grandparent would be woken. I don't know where those grandparents went, but I'm afraid there's very few left that can pray through the night and wake up at midnight and call their grandchild's name out and say, "Devil, you'll not cause them to cut themselves. You'll not cause them to give themselves to abuse. You'll not cause them to hurt themselves." If we've ever needed a spiritual gift of discerning, it's now. We don't need less of God. We need more of him. I don't have to go to church that much. Stop it. You don't realize hell is getting serious while church people are getting silly. What used to be common Christianity has now become optional Christianity. And now we have defeated Christians. Let's get back in the altar. Let's get back to saving people's lives and say we're going to preach Christ, live Christ, and obey Christ. Sorry, Is anybody else sick of it right now? Is anybody else sick of people hurting themselves? It's what the gospel of Christ is. I've come to give you life. Life more abundantly. A spirit of suicide has come across America. And it's not just for people on the street. Now famous pastors are ending their lives. I didn't plan on preaching this. My heart is so full. We've got to rise up and say, "That's the devil." You got to be able to walk up to somebody who's on medication and not destroy them, but tell them all this stuff that's behind the scenes is not God. It's the devil. And who's going to diagnose it? Right? Dr. Phil? Hello? Who's going to diagnose this? Oprah? With their crystals? Oh yeah, get mad now. I don't give a rip. We've got to rise up with something that works. We've got to rise up with something that saves. We've got to rise up with something that God said we could have to profit all. Oh, help me, Jesus. We've got to be careful that when we have this gift of Satan's working, or this gift when self is going on. Please hear this. People who have a gift of discerning have to be very careful, because you have to live in tons of love. There are people in here, you have the gift of discerning, but you've let bitterness come in. And now it's gone from discerning to criticism. You have a spiritual gift, but you're using it for the wrong team. I love you enough to tell you that it's not your age, it's a spirit. It's not your DNA, it's a spirit. It's not your parentage, it's a spirit. And it's been there all the time, but you just fought it. But for now, it's time for you to rise up and say, I'm never going to let my gift remove me from the need of being a person who walks in love. I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of people get damaged with gifts of discerning, but leave the love walk and use their gift to destroy good people. They take the woman caught in the act of adultery and treat her like he's wicked, like she's wicked, but Jesus treated her like she was weak. Y'all okay today? I apologize for being a little over emotional about it, but I'm just come to tell you, it ain't about church for me. It's about saving lives for this church. We need the Holy Spirit. When you begin to see somebody, you know, you never know. I think about Brian and David out there and the other people who work in the parking lot. I thank God for them. I thank God for them. You got to have nice people work. Some of you are not spiritual enough to be in the parking lot. I'll be quite honest with you. You're just not. But I tell you, David and Brian, they can be trusted, especially when it's 25 below zero. Thank God for everybody on this platform, but I'm really grateful for people out there in the winter. And they see, they smile, they shake hands with people. I don't know how they do it at times, because not everybody's smiling in return. Not everybody even acknowledges that they're there. If that was you, go somewhere else. That distance is not the issue. Go somewhere else. We like nice people. I'd rather have nice sinners than ugly saints. I know, I'm fear and trembling all over me. I'm so intimidated. But I know what's behind that thing. See, that's what I'm operating in. I know what's behind that thing, and it's hell trying to get in to hurt people who maybe aren't perfect, but they're trying. And somebody comes out of their car, you don't know what they've been through. They and their spouse could have had the Alamo. It could have just been an incredible war. What do you do when you don't walk around and say, boy, I think they're in trouble. You know what you do? You go to your knees in prayer. You go to your knees in prayer and you begin to call on God. You got to walk in love. A man said there's a false discernment based on mistrust, suspicion, and fear. You recognize false discernment by the coldness around it. False discernment may be packaged in a type of love, but it doesn't originate in love. It comes out of criticism. True discernment is rooted deeply in love. Well, how can you tell people not to come back and be in love? Because I know what's behind it. When there's this idea that you know, the more love you have, the more answers God provides. Can I take you now to God? In the book of Acts chapter 16, I want you to see this. There's a girl who followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Stop right there. So Paul and the preachers are ministering, and this girl follows them for an extended period of time. And she's saying, boy, these guys are great. These guys are great. Boy, you know, in many churches, this girl would have got to head up one of the youth departments. Verse 18, watch. And she did this for many days, but Paul was annoyed. How many of you ever had that turning in your spirit, like something looked right but didn't seem right? But Paul, greatly annoyed, now watch, turned and said to the Spirit. What did he say to the girl? Watch. He looks at the girl, who he knows has a demon motivation. And he could have got mad at her. But he never did. He talked to the spirit that was behind her. Come on, church. When you discern something's going on with somebody's life, good or bad, you don't attack them. All you're going to do is destroy them. You've got to attack the spirit that is trying to destroy them. Your child is misbehaving, and you know that there's something evil that's trying to destroy them. Don't chew your child out. Attack the spirit. That's why the Bible says, fathers, don't wear your kids out. That happens too often in churches. But it doesn't say, fathers, ignore what's going on with your kids. What we need is fathers and mothers. Come on, son, that knows that hell has an assignment to destroy that generation. But we're not going to save them by attacking them and berating them and going to Facebook about them. The only way to save a generation is to attack the spirit that's behind it. Look what he says here. And greatly he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. Okay, I'm going to go all Sunday night on you here in a minute. Can you all handle it? What's he doing? I'm just getting ready. I'm getting ready. Hallelujah. Woo. Some of you have been here long enough. You know how to quench him. But I haven't learned yet. I didn't take that class. I've come to tell you the devil is trying to take out your little girl. The devil is trying to take out your little boy. The devil is trying to take out your adult daughter. The devil is trying to take out your adult son and your adult grandchildren. He can't stand when you stand in the name of Jesus Christ and say, I'm not foolish. I know what's going on here. And in the name of Jesus, get out of my house. Get out of my children. Get out of our lives. You speak to the spirit behind it. My wife is a wonderful lady, and I've never told her this, but there was a while that she was annoying me. How many husbands have a wife that has annoyed you? That's okay. I've heard babies cry before. I don't mind. How many have ever had one man raise their hand? Everybody else is smart, man. You discerned what was going on there, didn't you? God bless you. And I never told her this because I'm a good husband. Till now. Ribfest is coming back. And I was annoyed by her. It was a long time ago, honey, so don't even. And the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And he says, you don't even realize there's an attack going on in her life. And if you try to address the issue between you and her, all you're going to do is hurt her. What you need to do is address the spirit of what's going on behind there that's destroying her. Not destroying her, but attacking her. And I began to pray in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues by myself. And you know what? Suddenly, she... Man, I feel like I'm on wicked thin ice right now. You gotta go forward now easily, brother. And I stopped being annoyed. Ding, 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 ding. Whew, the devil's a liar. I almost lost that one. See, that's why you should think these things through before you preach them. Now, I don't know if she changed. I know I did. But I have to believe that there was a spiritual thing that was trying to get to her. And I didn't need to correct her. I need to pray for her. She was not my problem, and I don't think I was hers. But there's a devil loose. And I thank God, and I don't feel like that's ever come back. She knows how close to the edge I came right there, but God is so good. How many of you got some kids that you're concerned about? Raise your hand. How many got some kids you're concerned about? Look at that. Look at that. Please look at me. You don't have to fix them. But you have the authority to fix what's going on behind them. Do you believe it today? Come on, do you believe that today? Do you believe it's not about a different parenting style? It's about, I have spiritual authority. See, God didn't reveal that to Paul so he could beat the girl down, say, you're no good. You're no good. He freed that girl. And your children can be the same. Would everyone stand together with me? Nobody leaving the building, please. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. With nobody leaving, every person that raised a hand said, I've got a child I'm concerned about. I want you to just come stand at this altar real quick. Whether you're an unbeliever or believer, I don't care if this is the first time you've ever been here. But there's nothing cowardly about saying, I'm concerned about my kids. I'm concerned about my little ones. Some of you have infants, you're concerned about them. Some of you have great-grandchildren, you're concerned about them. Come on, let's get real about it today. Come right up close if you would. Come right up close if you would. Hallelujah. I'm concerned about my kids. Maybe you've never been to church before, but you're concerned. God brought you here because he has something to show you, that it's not just about what's going on the outside. There's something going on behind the scenes. And you, my friend, have the authority to take that thing and destroy its spiritual influence on the next generation. I think somebody ought to shout a good hallelujah. Thank God for that reality today. Thank God. Thank God. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And some of you back there have been here. You've been here. You know what this is like. You know the pressure. But I tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ, this is the thing about discerning, Ben. Discerning is a power that God gives you in the realms of your responsibility. So you don't have to carry discerning for somebody that you don't know or somebody you barely know. But if God gives you discerning about something that's in your home, then God gives you authority to take care of it. Somebody hear that? Because what will happen, what could happen is this. Kirby. A spirit of heaviness can come on somebody. I'm not saying you have this, but I'm just looking at you. A spirit of heaviness can come on you and wear you down. How many of you ever just woke up in the morning, you just didn't feel right? How many of you understand that wasn't just you sometimes? That was the burden for somebody else, something that you know, and you wake up and you just aren't right. Look at me. God's not asking you to stay that way. If you wake up, you understand. When you wake up. Sorry. You know, I say that, I listen to what I said, then I don't think I should have said that. When you wake up that way, you need to rise up in the name of Jesus. Say, I don't know what that heaviness is, but whoever's under it, I'm going to take authority over it today, and I'm feeling it so somebody else won't have to. And so, Kirby, I've seen people that get a spirit of heaviness, and they don't know how to handle it. You know what the Bible says he'll give you instead? A garment of praise. I'm going to ask every person in this altar, every person on this floor, on the balcony and online, would you just begin to praise God with me right now that Jesus is Lord? Would you, all over this place? Come on. We need to have a spirit of praise. Come on. A spirit of praise. There'll be no change in your family until somebody starts praising God. A heaviness will lock everybody in, but a praise will loose the power of the Holy Ghost. Would you, all over this place, begin to praise Him? Begin to praise Him. We got time. We got time. Balcony, floor, altar, platform, online. Everybody begin to praise Him right now. Everybody begin to praise Him. Hope is coming to your children. Hope is coming to your grandchildren. Hope is coming to your spouse. Healing's coming to your house. Deliverance is coming to your house. In the name of Jesus, come on. Begin to praise Him and sing. Hallelujah.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Open your mouth.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Jesus, do something in us today.
This is how I fight my battles.
Jesus, do something in us today.
This is how I fight my battles.
Jesus, heal us today.
This is how I fight my battles.
Jesus is Lord.
This is how I fight my battles.
Come on, begin to praise Him. Magnify Him with me.
This is how I fight my battles.
Yeah, this is how I fight.
by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I, yeah. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I find my
battle. I just want to remind somebody today, if you know the source, you can protect the outcome. Come on, somebody. I said, if you know the source, you can protect the outcome. The Bible doesn't say that God, that the devil wouldn't form a weapon. He just said it won't prosper. Woo! There is a devil loose, but he's bound. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to just begin to pray with me. Well, let me stop. Authority comes through relationship. If there's anybody here today, if you have a relationship with Christ, you have authority to pray and have victory over every spiritual battle. And victory over every spiritual battle turns into victory in every natural battle. If you're here today, in this altar, in those seats, in that altar, in that balcony, and you say, I'm not living for God. I know I'm not living right. I know I'm not living the way He wants me to live. I've either never had a relationship with Christ, or I had one, but I've drifted from Him. And I know now that it was just a plan of hell trying to get me away. But today I want to make my life right with Christ. I want to get, the Bible calls it repentance. I want to repent. You know what? God will forgive, and you can start over again. If you're in the altar, the seats, the balcony. If you're online, just you can notify online. But if you're here, just raise your hand nice and high. Just raise your hand nice and high. Right here. Who else? Raise your hand nice and high. Over here. All right, let's pray this way. Dear Jesus, thank you for talking to me today. I want to live for you. I don't want to drift any longer. I claim you as my Savior. I'm walking away from the old way of living. Starting today, I receive a new start, a new beginning, and I live for you only. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want us to pray for our family members right now. Just begin to pray. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you can begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray and understand. I don't care how you pray. But everybody back there, stretch your hand towards these family members. Would you stretch your hand towards these precious people? You feel the burden that they feel. I know you do. You sense the heaviness that they are followed by. Would you, they need to know you're praying for them while they're praying for their family. Would you let them hear you pray? Let's pray right out loud. Heavenly Father, where's my wife? Come on, honey. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, touch every person. We pray for grandchildren, great-grandchildren, sons and daughters, husbands and wives. In the name of Jesus, just begin to pray, honey. Pray.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless our families. I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just speak their names right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for blessing Mariah, for blessing Rocky, for touching Macy, for strengthening Micah. I pray in the name of Jesus that you touch our children. Lord, that you put a hedge around them. I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they're adults, if they're young, wherever they are, we pray in the name of Jesus that you touch them, that you help them, that you fill them with the Holy Spirit, yes, that you remind them that they're overcomers, that in you that we are new. I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray that spirit of heaviness will be gone.
Yes.
I pray in the name of Jesus that parents will start speaking over their children victory. I pray that you'll give us a vision for our family that comes from you. I pray, Lord, that the fathers will begin to speak over the children of victory. I pray, God, that they'll begin to say, you are made for a purpose. I pray that mothers and grandmothers will begin to pray diligently for them. I pray, Lord, as parents, that we'll take a few extra minutes, that we'll walk in our children's bedrooms and begin to pray in,
yes,
the Spirit.
Yes, yes, Lord.
That we'll walk through,
hallelujah,
the house and say, enemy,
hallelujah,
you have no grounds,
hallelujah,
on this property.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus,
hallelujah,
I pray that this year will be,
hallelujah,
the best for,
hallelujah,
our families.
Hallelujah.
That you'll make marriages strong. Hallelujah. That you'll help the broken roads, Lord. That you'll begin to create new ones. That they won't backtrack. They'll just go forward. I pray, Lord, for the grandparents. Maybe they're not really sure where their role is. Their role is to pray and be set apart over their grandchildren. I pray in the name of Jesus. Can we just all raise our hand and thank God for touching our families? Can we just thank Him for touching our homes? In the name of Jesus, let worry be gone and let victory start to come up in our spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 You care about every child. In the name of Jesus, we pray for complete victory. In the name of Jesus.
I believe in the power of agreement. Everybody here, everybody back there, and in the balcony. We're a praying church. This is a house of prayer, so everybody's comfortable with it. Would you find somebody to pray? Every home has victory. Every home has an attack. But I thank every home, thank God every home has victory. Would everybody find somebody to pray with right now before we just let our praise loose? Would you begin to pray one for another right here, right now, in the name of Jesus? If you got to move, that's good. Yeah, that's awesome. Perfect. If you got to move, move. But find somebody to pray for. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray. Come on, what you make happen for somebody else's home, God will make happen for yours. I said, what you make happen for somebody else's home, God will make happen for yours. Do it in the name of Jesus. Do it in the name of Jesus. Do it in the name of Jesus. We pray for an entire church-wide household salvation, church-wide household healing, church-wide household liberty, church-wide household restoration. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.